Let's look to the Lord in prayer then as we put ourselves to the evening Bible study and the expectation to learn another paragraph in the book of James. Heavenly Father, we come into the moment in which we are going to break the Word of God, the living Word, and we pray that our understanding be enlightened by the one who is our teacher, the Holy Spirit, by the one who wrote the Word, the Holy Spirit, and by the one who interpreted the Word, the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that as we meditate in your Word, the full purpose of the Word of God, whereby was designed to give us doctrine and to give us reproof and admonition and instruction, can be gained in our life tonight. And I pray for myself that I be able to communicate your thoughts with purity. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We walk in the evening service through the book of James. And just briefly, if you look in James chapter 1, in verse 1, you get the idea to whom the apostle James wrote the letter. He said, James, a servant of God, and this is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, writing, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He wrote to people, they have no home, no rooms, no nation of this earth. They were believers. They went into Syria, and from Syria into what is today Turkey, and into Greece. And if you read the book of Acts, you find them as we did this morning through Acts 13 and so on. And he writes to them with one thing in mind. He writes this letter to them so that when they read it, they be encouraged and gain maturity. That's the whole idea of the letter of James. Maturity. In chapter 1, we talk about the patience of a maturity. And also we talk about how to get over our temptations. And how to be a religious person. It's all in chapter 1. Now we come to another paragraph. And this paragraph is in chapter 2, verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Because we already have done the paragraph in chapter 2, 1 to 12, where the emphasis was in don't be a phony. You have to be a true Christian. And there are certain signs here that reveals if you're not a true Christian or not. Now, in this paragraph that we have for today for our examination, James makes no bolds about it. He's going to make an emphasis on faith. So I want to read the portion, and then we ponder in the three qualities of faith that he said existed in the world then and existed in the world, I think, even today. All right, James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man said he hath faith and have not works? The word works can be translated also deeds. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath no works or deeds, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have deeds or works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by work when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or made known? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What kind of faith saves a person? If you listen, and I did one time when I used to live in Alameda, I did this. There are so many churches in Alameda that there's such a small island that I visit each one of them and ask their pastor what they believe. And I record. And each one gave me a reason why this denomination, the other denomination, was the truth. And so my question for you tonight is a question that James raised in the Bible. What kind of faith saves a person? And James is not talking about a denomination. He's talking about the deep, profound, heart-to-heart with God faith. Way above your colors in your denomination and my denomination. He's talking about the deep thing in the heart. What kind of thing deep in your heart really saves you? And James answered this question by explaining in the paragraph that we read that there are three kinds of faith, and only one is the true faith that really saves an individual. So let's find those three kinds and see what kinds of faith really saves you. All right. Number one, verse 14 to 17. James describes first the first kind of faith. Look in verse 17. In verse 17, there is a kind of faith that James even gave a name to it. Even so, faith, if it had no deed, is dead. Being alone. There is a kind of faith that James calls dead. So the first kind of faith that I found in the scripture is a faith that James called dead. Dead. Absolutely dead. Now the question is, what kind of faith is that? A dead faith. Verse 14 will answer to that question. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and when by that James means this, though a man or a woman by this case will say, I'm a believer. So James said, what is good about it if somebody said, I am a believer and have no deeds? Now deeds, The original word help you to understand a little bit what that means. Otherwise, our friends, the Catholics, will think they are the only saves because they teach it that by deeds you get to heaven. The word used over there is a word used in engineering by measure, in, especially in Germany. The word is called ergo, E-R-G-O, ergo. It's a unit of measurement. And means produce energy. And so with that in mind, I read the text and said, if you have no energy to that faith, if the faith that you have no move you on, then the question is this kind of faith really have power to save you? Let me put it in plain English. I think James is saying this. Dead faith is a faith that substitute words for deeds. A person says, I'm a believer, but the only way you know that person is a believer is because he or she told you. Otherwise, you never know. the way that person dresses, the way that person lives, the way that person works, the way that person behaves in home with their parents, the way the husband answers the wife, the way the wife answers the husband, the way that people behave in office. You never know that person is a believer unless they tell you. That's the kind of faith that James is talking about. It's a dead faith. See, no man, no woman can come to Christ by faith and remain the same person anymore. That no one can put the two fingers in an outlet with 220 volts and remain the same person. You understand that? It's simple. You got your finger in 220 and you are gone. And if God has touched your life, if the Holy Spirit of God had brought to you understanding that you were a sinner, if the Holy Spirit of God has shown you through the Scripture that you were a sinner and that Christ died for your sins, and the Holy Spirit of God has moved you to ask God forgiveness for your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer the same person, and that faith that God produced in you now is going to live for God. And that's what James calls deeds. There's no way around. So I wrote in my Bible this: dead faith is a counterfeit faith. Dead faith is a counterfeit faith. It's faith that people have in their lips. They can quote the Scripture. They can recite doctrines. They can stand for the truth. But when you see them, they are like a dead tree. You can't tell them if that's the devil or what is it. That is the people that have faith. So even those who believe not in God, they do have faith. Intellectual faith. So here's the kind of faith. James said, doesn't work. Look in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it had no demonstration of their belief, is dead, being alone. I was preaching this one time, and somebody told me, Pastor, you are wrong. There is a man in the Bible who never showed his faith, and that was the man at the cross. Remember when Jesus died? There was a thief that died. He said he never demonstrated his faith. That man was dead wrong, don't we? Because if you know Luke 24 well by memory, you know that the man who was hanging with his hands back, he said to the other thief, don't mock to this man because we are unholy and he is holy. Who told that man that? Holy Spirit. So therefore, that was the work of faith of that man. He believed the Scripture and he acted upon. So that faith is a faith of could happen to people. They brainwash themselves. They think they are Christians, but they cannot live the Christian life. That's a dead faith. Now the second faith is in verse 18 and verse 19. This is the second faith that James is talking about. He said, yeah, a man may say, thou have faith and I have works, and I do good deeds. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so James comes as strong. I think this is the strongest text in the Bible to show you and me that we are heading on against demons sometimes. Look at what verse 19 said. Thou believest that there is one God, and boy, we Christians are hot on that, don't we? The Jewish people are very hot on this one. They take it out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. O Israel, O hear, Shema, Shema, Elohim, Shabbat. The Lord is one God. One God. And look at what the text said. You believe there is one God? Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. So here is the second faith that I found in the Scripture. What kind of faith is this? This is demonic faith. The devil believe it. Never separate the word tremble, as some Bibles do. The word tremble is very important. The devils, the demons, also believe and tremble. What kind of faith is that? The faith of the demons. Faith of Satan. What kind of faith is that? Well, according to verse 19, is property of demons. Demonic. Now, what do the demons believe? Let me show you what demons believe. Let me show you. In the Gospel of Mark, for example, in chapter 3, and in verse 11 and 12, the Bible teaches something that demons believe. Mark Gospel, chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, the demons believe in the existence of God. Now, here is Christ, Mark 3, and verse 11 and 12, dealing with the demons. And look what the Bible said. And an unclean spirit, that's a demon, when they saw him, when him as Jesus, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he strictly charged them that they should not make him known. The demons believe in God. Thou art the Son of God. They know more doctrine than some of the people who are Christians. The demons believe in the existence of God. Also, if you go to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 8, if you go to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 8, and in verse 31, you will learn that the demons believe in the final punishment of mankind. Isn't that amazing? Mankind tries to invent all kinds of psychological, philosophical approach to free you from your accountability to God. But the demons believe that man is accountable to God and will be punished. Luke 8 and verse 31. And let me read verse 30 so you get the idea. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" Talking to a demon. And the demon said, "Legion." Because many devils were entered unto him. And they besought him, the demons besought Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And the word deep in the original language is not just a deep pit. It's the word abyss, who indicate going to hell. "Don't send us into hell now," the demons are saying. So the demons know more than what you and I think they know. And so there is that kind of faith that the demons have, said James. The devil also believe and tremble. Now here's the difference. And Jesus, God, thou faith relate to me and relates to you. Have you ever seen people getting emotionally worked out after they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I only saw them in television and few I saw personally. They really get emotionally worked out. I have counseled with two or three in my office in the radio. They were emotionally worked out. When I asked them to refer the memories of his faith in Christ, they really, one man told me, "I saw a light," and so on. Another man said, "I saw this," and they go back into that historical happening, so-called happening in their life, and they bring to you a worked out situation. I call it an emotional trip. That's what demons do. They provoke an emotional trip in an individual. I'm not laughing about somebody who emotionally cry because he or she have the light now that is a sinner and Christ has forgiven them. And that could happen. I'm talking about the people who think that In order to be saved, I need to experience some trauma that moves me back some far, or speak in certain conditions, or do certain things, or fell forwards, or backwards, or whatever. And this is an emotional workout. And that's the word tremble. The demons believe and tremble and makes all kinds of things, but there is no reality in their faith because they have no deeds of their faith. I'm not calling anybody a devil. I'm saying what the scripture said. If your faith is just a handful of emotions, the faith that you have is the faith that the devil has. I'm not trying to be belligerent. I'm not trying to be against anybody. I'm trying just to make it as clear as possible that if your faith is based upon an trembling experience, it's the faith of the devil and not the faith of God. Now, that's getting serious, don't we? Now, what is the good faith then, Pastor? Well, right here, the Bible tells you what is the faith. Now, the first faith, remember, the first faith, in verse 17, I call dead faith. The second faith, I call demonic faith. But the third faith, right here in verse 23, I call that dynamic faith. And you know why I call dynamic? Because anything dynamic moves. Let me read for you verse 20 to 23, and you will see why. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without deeds is dead? In other words, faith without demonstration of that faith is dead. And then brings a beautiful example. Was not Abraham our father justified by his deeds, by his demonstration of his belief, when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? And what did Abraham believe? I asked myself. I read that the scripture, and what did Abraham believe? On what he based his faith? Was not in dead thing, was not in a demon, and what he based his faith? Verse 23 answered the question. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God. Now, you don't understand this until I bring you a little picture on this. If I come to this church, at least to this church, and I say to you in the morning service, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord told me something yesterday. You expect one thing from me. The next thing you expect from me is that I will open the scripture and read something that the Lord told me. I know at least this church will expect this from me. Well, if Abraham believed God, he did not have the scripture. Is that right? He did not have a written scripture. And this is what is called in theology verbal inspiration. When you move your Bible to Genesis 15 and verse 6, you will see there where Abraham believed to God. First time that the Bible tells us that this man believed God. Genesis 15 verse 6. The Lord told Abraham in verse 1, at the end of verse 1 in chapter 15, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am, he said, God. All the reward you're going to get in your life is me, he said. And then God told him that verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. In verse 5, it's beautiful. Now it is God, this is the word of God, the word of God, God's word to Abraham. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now he is an old guy. And God came to him and said, now listen, you see this guy? That's how I will do this for you. Now this God, there's no dreaming here, there's no shaking, there's God talking to Abraham. The next verse tells you what Abraham did. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted for righteousness. Now I have learned from the scripture. Each time I believe something, they're always going to test me about that belief. And so the test comes in chapter 22. Abraham believed. God knows because he provoked him to believe. So he knows. But he tested him. Remember James said, have no Abraham believe, and he offered Isaac. And so I bring that reference of James into your attention. Genesis 22 said in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tested. The King James used the word tempted, but I don't like it. Tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. That's later on where Jesus was crucified, the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now here comes the test. Would Abraham obey? If he believed the word of God then, he should believe the word of God now. Now look in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. No question. Why, Lord? Why me? As we do sometimes. No question. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went out unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now in verse 5 is the demonstration, excuse me, that he believed. Verse 5. Remember, he went with some friends with him. And look what he said. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad is Isaac, will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Do you see what Abraham said? He said to these people that were his company, now that's as far as you people go. I have to worship God in that mountain. My boy and I will go, and my boy and I will come back. Now, he's going to burn his boy on the altar. But if God said that he's going to raise me children as the stars of heaven, that's enough for me. I will do what he said. I bring the boy in, and I'm going to bring the boy back. No wonder he's the father of faith. I mean, that's believing. Now, I'm going to bring to your attention now the climax of this. What did Abraham believe? He believed the word of God. That's what he believed. That's a dynamic faith. He believed the word of God. In Genesis 15:6, God said to Abraham, the heavens, you see the heavens? They are just small. As how many children you will have? He said, that's enough. God said, I'm going to test that. And he tested, and he passed the test. Now, Abraham had deeds. You see what James is saying? James is saying, Abraham had deeds to show you that he believed God. That's why you got testings in your life. So that you show your neighbors that you believe God. That's when a pastor got testing Sunday hour, so that he showed the people that he's a shepherd. Will you put yourselves under the hands of a surgeon who went to a school but he never passed the test because his school did not require a test? On my dead body, that surgeon will touch my body. See, Abraham, the scripture said, Abraham has a dynamic faith. He believed God and he did what God said. What did he believe? He believes the word of God. That's the only faith that counted. Now, how come this man has such a tremendous faith? I think I mentioned to you this text so much that you know it by memory. If you go to the book of Romans, you find clearly in the book of Romans 10:17 the answer to this. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is what I believe about Abraham and God. I believe that Abraham was like you and me, worried that he needed to be the father of nations and spread the gospel everywhere. The Bible said that he preached the gospel and had no children. And he was concerned. And then when he was at the top of his concern, then God came and talked to him. Now, the verse 5 is before verse 6, right, in Genesis. So in Genesis 15:5, God spoke to Abraham, as the stars of heaven will be yours. He's listening to God's word. And what Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now picture, he's listening to God's word. God's word produced in his heart faith. And then verse 6 said, and he believed and was counted unto righteousness. And all the work belonged to God, and all the glory belonged to God. And so when James said here, and the scripture, verse 23 in chapter 2 of James, was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and it's put unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, the scripture is saying that there is a kind of faith that is dynamic, and the only faith that is valid and will save you is the faith that God is going to produce in your life so that you believe. And the only way to get that faith into your heart is by reading God's word. If you get an emotional workout and tremble, that's of the devil, as the scripture said. You can quote me right. The scripture said, if you said all the doctrines of the Bible, but your life is like the devil, then you are crazy, or you really are a liar. Because if you said you believe, then you need to demonstrate it with your life. It will overflow you. My mother-in-law used to give me a lot of sermons to me, a lot of lessons. And mothers-in-law specialize in that, when they love their children. And one of them, I never forgot, we were in the patio in her house, and she got a cup, and she said, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what happened, Gabriel. And she opened the faucet and let that fill in, and after it was completely full, you know, overflow. And she let it go and said, now, this is what God does. When he saves a person, he doesn't save him halfway. He makes that person to overflow. So she always said, where is your overflowing? I never forgot. God fills you and fills you so much that it goes all over the place. If it's not that way, then there is no half feelings or one quarter of the feelings. Boy, I was privileged to have a mother-in-law who knew the Lord so strongly and who admonishes me with the word of God. Now the question, how all of these relate to me? These relate to me in this way. If you are a believer, you are a believer because God has produced you a living faith in you through his word. Now, you may hear the word by reading yourself. You may hear the word by listening to a preaching. You may hear the word as a friend show the word to you, as many of you have found the Lord because a friend has shown you or lent you a Bible and give you a Bible, and that Bible you can never let go until you find, what is this Bible? And maybe you've understood the Bible, but one day you went into the right place where the Bible was preached and you put two and two together. And the reason why you came to believe and your life changed and went all around because was the work of God in your life. This is called the dynamic faith. What kind of faith really says is the faith that is based upon the word of God. That's the whole sermon tonight. The faith that really saves is the faith that is based or provoked by the word of God. Doesn't matter what nation you are from, doesn't matter what language you speak, that is the way that mankind is saved. Now, I close with this. When a person is saved like that, the deacons of the church, the elders of the church, and the pastor of the church doesn't have to get that person with a hook and bring it to church.
Understand that?
I don't have to get in a phone and say, hey, will you come to this exact this Sunday? I don't have to. Because when you are saved with dynamic faith, that faith moves you. And Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembly yourself together. As some have that custom already, year one. There is no problem in this church, but I mentioned. Malachi 3:10 said, bring your tithe into the alpha league, into the house of God. 1 Corinthians 16, the verse I really like, it is on the first day of the week. Bring those things that you separate already as the Lord has prospered you during the week. You bring that money into the church. You know the people have difficulty in giving if the people, they have not really real faith. Because if I have real faith, the first thing I want to do is give so that the gospel may go. Give to the church, give to ministries, and give everywhere so that the gospel may go. You check that that ministry is godly, and then you push that ministry according with the proportion as God has blessed you. See, these things affect us. These are not theology, just theology. When a person is saved, he or she wants to do one thing, want to obey God's will. And you never make the pastor more happy than when I see somebody who is growing and growing in the grace of God and wants to obey more and more and more God's will. I know that that person then is saved. The only way that I know is when I see the deeds of faith in your life. May God bless us, that we may understand that there is no intellectual faith, dead faith that saved me. It is no emotional faith, demonic faith that saved me. But there is dynamic faith, the faith that God provoked in my heart through His Word, and now, I want to serve Him and associate with His people. May God grant to Bethel Baptist Church that kind of faith in the heart of His people. Thank you, Father, for the instruction tonight. Faith is not just saying the right word or believing the right doctrine. Faith is believing and doing your will. I cannot see the hearts of people. You only have that privilege. But I can see the deeds and people. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us will search our heart and ask you to cause us to walk according to the calling that you have made in us. In Jesus I pray. Amen.